Blog Talk Radio.
Podcast family, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast with co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and this is Nurse Carmen. And next, we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge. And again, we thank you for tuning in.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in to our daily discussion. Well, kind of daily discussion. As always, we're going to present to you some new information for you to take in. And as the song say, have that talk with God to confirm what it is that's being said. Now, let me explain something to you. You have the idea that God shows up in only one way in life. Now, that's a very dangerous idea. It stops you from seeing God all over. If you think God looks only one way or sounds only one way or he is only one way, you're going to look right past God day and night. You spend your whole life looking for God and not finding her because you're looking for a him. I use this as an example. It has been said that if you don't see God in the profane and the profound, you're missing half the story. Now, that is a great truth. God is in the sadness and the laughter, in the bitter and the sweet. This is a divine purpose behind everything, and therefore a divine presence in everything. Now, what gives you the idea that God is only reverent? God is the up and the down, the hot and the cool, the left and the right, the reverent and the irreverent. Do you think that God cannot laugh? Do you imagine that God does not enjoy a good joke? Is it your knowing that God is without humor? Well, I'm here to tell you that God invented humor. Must you speak in hushed tones when you speak to God? Are slang words or tough language outside the knowledge of God? I tell you, you can speak to God as you would speak with your best friend. Do you think there is a word that God has not heard, a sight God has not seen, a sound God does not know? Is it your thought that God despises some of these while God loves the other? I'm here again to tell you, God despises nothing. None of it is repulsive to God. It is life, and the life is the gift, the unspeakable treasure, the holy of the holiness. God is life and the stuff of life. It is every aspect has a divine purpose. Nothing exists, nothing, without a reason understood and approved by God. Then you say, then how can this be? What of the evil which has been created by man? You cannot create a thing, not a thought, an object, an event, no experience of any kind which is outside of God's plan. For God's plan is for you to create anything, everything, whatever you want. In such freedom lies the experience of God being God, and this is the experience for which God created you and life itself. Evil is that which you call evil. Yet even that God loves, for it is only through that which you call evil that you can know good. Only through that which you call the works of the devil that you can know and do the work of God. God does not love hot more than God loves cold, high more than low, left more than right. It is all relative. It is all part of what is. God does not love good more than God loves bad. This is why I've said Hitler went to heaven. When you understand this, you understand God. Then you say, but I've been raised to believe that good and bad do exist, that right and wrong are opposed, that some things are not okay, not all right, not acceptable in the sight of God. Everything is acceptable in the sight of God. For how can God not accept that which is? To reject the thing is to deny that it exists. To say that it is not okay is to say that it is not a part of God. And that is impossible. Yet, hold to your beliefs and stay true to your values, for these are the values of your parents, of your parents' parents, of your friends, and of your society. They form the structure of your life, and to lose them would be to unravel the fabric of your experience. Still, examine them one by one. Review them piece by piece. Do not dismantle the house, but look at each brick and replace those which appear broken, which no longer support the structure. Your idea about right and wrong are just that, ideas. They are the thought which form the shape and create the substance of who you are. There would only be one reason to change any of these, only one purpose in making an alteration, if you are not happy with who you are. Only you can know if you are happy. Only you can say of your life, this is my creation, in which I am well pleased. If your values serve you, hold to them, argue for them, fight to defend them. Yet, seek to fight in a way which harms no one. Harm is not a necessary ingredient in healing. Then you say, hold to your values. At the same time, I'm telling you, your values are wrong. Well, I have not said your values are wrong, but neither are they right. They are simple judgments, assessments, decisions. For the most part, they are decisions made not by you, but by someone else. Your parents, perhaps, your religion, teachers, historians, politicians. Very few of the value judgments you have incorporated into your truth are judgments you yourself have made based on your own experience. Yet experience is what you came here for, and out of your experience were you to create yourself. You have created yourself out of the experience of others. If there was such a thing as sin, this would be it. To allow yourself to become what you are because of the experience of others. This is the sin you have committed. All of us. You do not await your own experience. You accept the experience of others as gospel, literally. And then, when you encounter the actual experience for the first time, you overlay what you think you already know onto the encounter. If you did not do this, you might have a wholly different experience, one that might render your original teachers or sources wrong. In most cases, you don't want to make your parents, your school, your religion, your traditions, your holy scripture wrong, so you deny your own experience in favor of what you have been told to think. Nowhere can there be more profound illustrated than in your treatment of human sexuality. Everyone knows that the sexual experience can be the single most loving, most exciting, most powerful, most exhilarating, most renewing, most energizing, most affirmative, most intimate, most uniting, most recreative physical experience of which humans are capable. Having discovered this experientially, you have chosen to accept instead the prior judgments, opinions, and ideas about sex prolongated by others, all of which have vested interest in how you think. These opinions, judgments, and ideas have run directly contrary to your own experience. Yet, because you loathe to make your teachers wrong, you convince yourself it must be your experience that is wrong. The result is that you have betrayed your true truth about this subject with devastating results. You have done the same thing with money. Every time in your life that you have had lots and lots of money, you have felt great. You felt great receiving it, and you felt great spending it. There was nothing bad about it, nothing evil, nothing inherently wrong. Yet, you have so deeply ingrained within you the teaching of others on the subject that you have rejected the experience in favor of truth. Having adopted this truth as your own, you have formed thoughts about it, thoughts which are creative. You have thus created a personal reality around money which pushes it away from you. For why would you seek to attract that which is not good? Amazingly, you have created the same contradiction around God. Everything your heart experiences about God tells you that God is good. Teachers teach about God tells you God is bad. Your heart tells you God is to be loved without fear. Your teachers tell you God is to be feared, for he is a vengeful God. You are to live in fear of God's wrath, they say. You are to tremble in his presence. Your whole life through you are to fear the judgment of the Lord, for the Lord is just, you are told, and God knows you will be in trouble when you confront the terrible justice of the Lord. You are therefore to be obedient to God's commands, or else. Above all, you are not to ask such logical questions as, if God wanted strict obedience to his laws, why did he create the possibility of those laws being violated? Oh, your teachers tell you, because God wanted you to have free choice. Yet what kind of free choice is free when to choose one thing over the other brings condemnation? How is free will free when it is not your will, but someone else's will? What must be done? Those who teach you this would make a hypocrite of God. You are told that God is forgiveness and compassion. Yet, if you do not ask for this forgiveness in the right way, if you do not come to God properly, plea will not be heard. Your cry will go unheeded. Even this would not be so bad if there was only one proper way. But there are as many proper ways being taught as there are teachers to teach them. Most of you therefore spend the bulk of your adult life searching for the right way to worship, to obey, and to serve God. The irony of all this is that God does not want your worship. God does not need your obedience. It is not necessary for you to serve God. These behaviors are the behavior historically demanded on their subjects by monarchs. Usually egomaniac, insecure, tyrannical monarchs at that. They are not God's demand in any sense. And it seems remarkable that the world hasn't by now concluded that the demands are counterfeit, having nothing to do with the needs of or desires of deity. Deity has no needs. All that is exactly that, all that is. It therefore wants or lacks nothing by definition. If you choose to believe in a God who somehow needs something and has such hurt feelings if he doesn't get it that he punished those from whom he expects to receive it, then you have chosen to believe in a God much smaller than my God. You truly are children of a lesser God. No, listen, please. Let me assure you again. God is without needs. God requires nothing. Now, this does not mean that God is without desires. Desires and needs are not the same thing. Although many of you have made them so in your present lifetime. Desire is the beginning of all creation. It is first thought. It is a grand feeling within the soul. It is God choosing what next to create. And what is God's desire? God desires first to know and experience itself in all its glory, to know who God is. Before God invented you, all the worlds of the universe, it was impossible for God to do so. Second, God desires that you should know and experience who you really are through the power God has given you to create and experience yourself in whatever way you choose. Third, God desires for the whole life process to be an experience of constant joy, continuous creation, never-ending expansion, and total fulfillment in each moment of now. God has established a perfect system whereby these desires may be realized. They are being realized now, in this very moment. The only difference between you and God is that God knows this. And the moment you are totally knowing, which moment could come up on you at any time, you too will feel as God does always, totally joyful, loving, accepting, blessing, and grateful. These are the five attributes of God. And therefore, we are through with this thing, I'm sorry. Before we are through with this series of podcasts, I will show you how the application of these attitudes in your life can now and will bring you godliness. All of this is a very long answer to a short question. Yes, hold true to your values. As long as you experience that, they serve you. Yet, look to see whether the values you serve, which you thought with your thoughts, words, and actions, bring to the space of your experience the highest and best ideas you ever had about you. Examine your values one by one. Hold them up to the light of public scrutiny. If you can tell the world who you are and what you believe without breaking stride or hesitating, you are happy with yourself. There is no reason to continue listening to my podcast. Because you have created a self and a self for this self, which needs no improvement. You have reached perfection. Turn off the podcast. Now, some of you might say, My life is not perfect, nor is it close to being perfect. I'm not perfect. I am, in fact, a bundle of imperfections. I wish with all my heart that I could correct these imperfections, that I knew what caused my behavior, what set up my downfalls, what keeps getting in my way. That's why you come to God. You come to God because you haven't been able to find your own way. And I'm here to tell you, I'm glad you came. God is always here to help you. God is here right now. You don't have to find the answers on your own. You never had to. Then you say, yet it seems so presumptuous to simply sit down and have a dialogue with God this way. Much less to imagine that you, God, are responding. I mean, this is crazy. I see. The authors of the Bible were all insane, but you're crazy. Well, the Bible writers were witnesses to the life of Christ and faithfully recorded what they heard and saw. Well, I have to correct you. Most of the New Testament writers never met or saw Jesus in their lives. They lived many years after Jesus left the earth. They wouldn't have known Jesus of Nazareth if he walked into them on the streets. The Bible writers were great believers and great historians. They took the stories which had been passed down to them and to their friends by others, elders, from elders to elder, until finally a written record was made. And not everything of the Bible's author was included in the final documents. Already churches have sprung up around the teaching of Jesus, and has happened whenever and whatever people gather in groups around a powerful idea, there were certain individuals within their churches or enclaves who determined what part of the Jesus story were going to be told and how. This process of selecting and editing continued throughout the gathering, writings, and publishing of the gospel and the Bible. Even several centuries after the original scriptures was committed to writing, a high council of the church determined yet one more time which doctrine and truth were to be included in the then official Bible, which would be unhealthy or premature to reveal to the masses. And there have been other holy scriptures as well, each placed in writing in moments of inspiration by otherwise ordinary people, none of whom were more crazier than you. So then you say, so am I suggesting that these writings might one day become holy? Listen, everything in life is holy. By that measure, yes, your writings can become holy scripture. But I'm not going to quibble over words, but you know what I mean. I do not understand that this manuscript will want, I'm sorry, you see, the problem is that the language here is too conversational, too contemporary. People assume that if God were to talk directly with you, God would not sound like the fella next door. There should be some unifying, if not so defying, structure to the language, some dignity, some sense of godliness. As I said earlier, that's part of the problem. People have a sense of God as showing up in only one form. Anything which violates that form is seen as blasphemy, the guy said to me. Yes, but there's a difference. Prayer for me has always been one way. I ask and God remains immutable. So are you saying that God has never answered a prayer? Then you say, oh, yes, but never verbally. I've had all kinds of things happen in my life that I've convinced were an answer, a very direct answer to prayer, but God has never spoken to me. So this God in which you believe, this God can do anything, it just cannot speak. Of course God can speak if God wants to. It just doesn't seem probable that God would want to speak to me. Once again, This is the root of every problem you experience in your life. For you do not consider yourself worthy enough to be spoken to by God. Good heavens, how can you even expect to hear God's voice if you don't imagine yourself being deserving enough to even be spoken to? I'll tell you this, God is performing a miracle right now. For not only is God speaking to you, but to every person who has listened, tuned into this podcast and listening. God is speaking to you. To each of them, God is now saying, I know who you are, every one of you is. I know who will find their way to these words. And I know that just as with all the other communication, some will be able to hear and some will be able to only listen, but will hear nothing. But will hear nothing. So I know you guys have 100 questions, 1,000 a minute, and the problem is sometimes don't know where to begin. Just when you have that conversation with God, just list the questions. Just start somewhere. Make a list of the questions that occur to you. Then you would say some of these just seem pretty simple. Stop making judgments against yourself. Stop making judgments against yourself. God has established laws in the universe that make it possible for you to have, to create exactly what you choose. These laws cannot be violated, nor can they be ignored. You are following these laws right now, even as you listen to me. You cannot not follow the law, for these are the way things are. You cannot step aside from this. You cannot operate outside of it. Every minute of your life, you have been operating inside of it. And everything you have ever experienced, you have thus created. You are in a partnership with God. We share an eternal covenant. And God's promise to you is to always give you what you ask. Your promise is to ask. To understand the process of the asking and the answering. God has already explained this process to you, but I'll do so again so that you can clearly understand it. You are a threefold being. You consist of mind, body, and spirit. You could also call this the physical, the non-physical, and the metaphysical. This is the Holy Trinity. And it has been called by many names. That which you are, I am. I am manifested as the three in one. Some of your theologians have called this the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your psychiatrist has recognized this and called it conscious, subconscious, and superconscious. Your philosophers have called it the id, the ego, and the superego. Science calls this energy, matter, and antimatter. Poets speak of mind, heart, and soul. New Age thinkers refer to body, mind, and spirit. Your time is divided into past, present, and future. Could this not be the same as subconscious, conscious, and superconscious? Space is likewise divided into three. Here, there, and the space in between. It is defining and describing the space between that becomes difficult, elusive. The moment you begin defining or describing, the space you describe becomes here or there. Yet we know this space between exists. It is what holds the here and the there in place, just as the eternal now holds before and after in place. These three aspects of you are actually three energies. You might call them thought, word, and action. All three put together produces a result, which in our language and understanding is called a feeling or experience. Your soul, subconscious, the id, the spirit, the past, is the sum total of every feeling you've ever had created. Your awareness of some of these is called your memory. When you have a memory, you are said to remember. That is, to put back together, to reassemble the parts. When you reassemble all the parts of you, you will have remembered who you really are. The process of creation starts with thought and an idea, conception, visualization. Everything you see was once someone else's idea. Nothing exists in this world that did not first exist as pure thought. This is true of the universe as well. Thought is the first level of creation. Next comes the word. Everything you say is a thought expressed. It is creative and sent forth creative energies into the universe. Words are more dramatic, thus some might say more creative than thought, because words are a different level of vibration from thought. They disrupt, change, alter, affect the universe with greater impact. Words are the second level of creation. Next comes action. Action are words moving. Words are thought expressed. Thoughts are ideas formed. Ideas are energy come together. Energy are forces released. Forces are elements existence. Elements are particles of God, portions of all, the stuff of everything. The beginning is God. The end is action. Action is God creating or God experienced. Your thoughts about yourself is that you are not good enough, not wondrous enough, not sinless enough to be part of God, in partnership with God. You have denied for so long who you are that you have forgotten who you are. This has not occurred by coincidence. This is not happenstance. It is all part of the divine plan. For you could not claim, create, experience who you are if you already were it. It was necessary first for you to release, deny, forget your connection to God in order to fully experience it by fully creating it, by calling it forth. Grandest wish and God's grandest desire was for you to experience yourself as part of God you are. You are therefore in the process of experiencing yourself by creating yourself anew in every single moment. So is God. Through you. Now, do you see the partnership? Do you grasp its implication? It is a holy collaboration, truly a holy communion. Life will take off for you then when you choose for it to. You have not so chosen as yet. You have procrastinated, prolonged, protracted, protested. Now it is time that you prolongate and produce what you have been promised. To do this, you must believe the promise and live it. You must live the promise of God. And the promise of God is that you are his son and daughter, her offspring, its likeness, his equal. Here's where you get hung up. You cannot accept his son, offspring, likeness, but you recall at being called his equal. It is too much to accept, too much bigness, too much wonderment, too much responsibility. For if you are God's equal, that means nothing is being done to you. All things are created by you. There can be no more victims and no more villains, only outcomes of your thought about a thing. I tell you this, all you see in your world is the outcome of your ideas about it. Do you want your life to take off, truly take off? Then change your ideas about it, about you. think, speak, and act as the God you are. Of course, this will separate you from many. Most of your fellow men, they will call you crazy. They will say you blaspheme. They will actually have had enough of you and will attempt to crucify you. They will do this not because they think you are living in a world of your own illusion. Most men are gracious enough to allow you your private entertainment, but because sooner or later, others will become attracted to your truth for the promise it holds for them. Here is where your fellow men will interfere, for here is where you will begin to threaten them. For your simple truth, simple lived, will offer more beauty, more comfort, more peace, more joy, and more love of self others than anything your earthly fellows can contrive. And that truth adopted will mean the end of their ways. It would mean the end of the hatred and fear and bigotry and wars, the end of the condemning and killing that has gone on in God's name, the end of might is right, the end of purchase through power, the end of loyalty and homage through fear, the end of the world as you know it, and also you have created, is thus far. So be really kind. I'm sorry. So be ready. For you will be vilified and spat upon, called names and deserted. And finally, they will accuse you, try you and condemn you, all in their own way, from the moment you accept and adopt your holy cause, the realization of self. The realization of self. And this is what I'm here trying to talk to you about. Your partnership, part of God. And when you truly know that you are part of God, then you will see your life truly change from the woe is me to I have nothing or I can't get anything. Then you will realize that whatever it is that you desire, you can have. Scripture was left behind that says, ask in my name. It also says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge, the knowledge of who they really are. So it is important that we not only just hear what is being said in the podcast, because I've always said this to you before, please, the words that you hear, and if you feel that you have questions, have that talk with God. Remember, if you don't go within, you will go without. Now, at this time, I'm going to open up the floor, and if someone has something that they'd like to say, now is the time to say it. Be more than happy to answer whatever it is that you might want. And if you choose not to, then I think I'll go to my DJ mode and I'll go with this.
Ladies and gentlemen and podcast audience.
How's that?
Oh,
actually, I'm going to be getting another song for my mother soon.
Oh, right now.
See Jesus, amen.
people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on, we got to stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You got to get, come on. Fifth ward. Fourth ward. Come on. Sing it.
Tonight, I hope something was said that would inspire you to go within, to know who you really are. I love you all, and I look forward to once again Sunday night, 8 o'clock. God bless you. I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.